While much of America has stayed home for 2 months, workers from bus drivers to grocery store stockers and some manufacturing employees have continued reporting to their workplaces. That has exposed some to heightened risk of infection and prompted employers to add procedures and protective gear to minimize the risk of local outbreaks. Among the more extreme strategies that employers have tried is sequestering staffers at work. More from Austin Hufford, manufacturing reporter at the Wall Street Journal. Austin, can't imagine what that's like.
Yeah, so we found a few examples of a few companies and organizations who, you know, many of us may be working from home or are frontline essential workers, but these people are actually living at their workplace. They're getting cots, they're getting RVs. You know, they're basically having to say, hey, you have to live here for 2 weeks, for 4 weeks, and you can't go home and see your family.
Goodness. So who are some of these workers? What line of work are they in?
So far, I found people who are really critical to operate. So utility companies is a good example. You know, if our electricity goes out, if our water systems go out, that would obviously be very, very bad. And so these companies are putting an extra effort to make sure that their systems stay up and that their workers don't get sick. So one example is a company called National Grid. They're basically in the Northeast. They provide natural gas and electricity to New York and Massachusetts and, you know, other states in the Northeast. Right. And basically they had workers sequestered across 8 sites. So basically within a week they had to decide, are we doing this? They said yes. And then 10 days later, workers started moving in.
Man. So explain some of those logistics that these companies have to go through, like finding food for these folks or the showers, beds.
Yeah, that was one of my first questions. I was like, wait, so how are these people being fed? How does that work? And they said they actually hired like a food services provider, and those employees actually had to stay on site also. So it wasn't just their own workers, but they actually had the food people come in and stay and cook meals three times a day.
No kidding. So, I mean, are they just converting conference rooms into like hostels kind of where people sleep six to a room, or are there enough offices where you can jam a cot in? How does that work?
Yeah. So first they brought in about 2 dozen trailers, like RV style trailers to have people sleep in. And the way that it works is these people that they work 12 hours a day, 12 hours on, 12 hours off.
Okay.
And no vacations, no days off. And basically each one of these trailers is basically two to a trailer. So you have one person on the day shift and one person on the night shift. And they basically would just split the trailer that way.
That's something.
And so in addition to the trailers, they also had some conference rooms that they converted. At this one site in Massachusetts, they had about 80 people there at any one time. They kind of had, you know, two different waves, 80 people for 3 weeks and 80 people for 3 weeks or around that time frame.
We're speaking with Austin Hufford, manufacturing reporter at the Wall Street Journal. His piece is called "To Avoid Coronavirus Risks, These People Live Where They Work." And he's profiled a handful of companies that are sequestering their workers, not allowing them to go home. I guess you have to ask employees who want to do this, right? Or can you just order somebody to stay on site?
Yeah, I mean, so far everyone says that they asked for volunteers, and that, you know, basically everyone raised their hand. I mean, you know, they're obviously getting extra pay and all that stuff. I don't have too many details on the pay end.
Okay.
But definitely, I mean, that's something where, you know, this is obviously a hard decision for a lot of people. But at the same time, though, they also view this, you know, this is a way to keep themselves safe, too, and their families safe, you know, still getting a paycheck to pay for things. And
yeah.
So, you know, I think at the end of the day, they viewed this as, you know, doing what was right for society as a whole, perhaps.
How about the mental toll, though, some of these folks must face?
Yeah, they said it was pretty difficult, you know. I mean, you know, for some people, they were there for 5-6 weeks at a time. And then at least at these sites, because they were working every single day, they didn't even have any alcohol to bring in, you know, so they couldn't even get a beer to blow off steam.
Right.
You know, I guess when they brought in the second wave of employees, those employees had a little bit more time to prepare. And so they were able to bring in some golf clubs, some, you know, basketball hoops, that sort of thing.
Thanks, Austin. Austin Hufford, manufacturing reporter at the Wall Street Journal. That is something, be locked at work for 2 weeks. 20 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News.
America's First News is online all the time. Follow us on Twitter at This Morning Show. Like us on Facebook or send us an email. This Morning at CompassMediaNetworks.com.